It's a good day. Amen. It's the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad, glad, glad in it. You know, I opened something up yesterday during prayer. The Holy Spirit took us back to something, and it was so good that he said, I want you to go back into that tonight. We haven't taught into this probably in about 3 years. I want to take you back into this because you'll really like this. It's quite a refresher course, actually. Go to John 15 for a minute. I'm going to give you some things we've learned over time that'll really help you, especially in your relationship with God, how to draw near to God. A lot of times we get the idea that we want him to draw near to us, and he will. But if you're going to go into the depths of God, you'll have to learn to draw near to him. You have to go to where he is. Some things you'll get stopped out on. Sometimes you'll get ceilinged out on certain access points. But this access point, what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, will take you all the way in, as far as you want to go. Amen? Glory to God forever. So let's look at this particular scripture here, John 15, 7. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Those are two major operations of any spiritual believing Christian. To learn to abide in God and to have his words abide in you. We've spent a lot of time recently on the abiding word of God. Abiding, have his word abiding in us. Hearing the word of the kingdom. Receiving the word of the kingdom. Understanding the word of the kingdom. And keeping the word of the kingdom. Majoring on the word of the kingdom. Writing it upon our heart. On the forefront of our eyes, in our mouth, palms of our hands, written on the Constitution, written upon the walls, surrounding every part of our life with his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is majoring on the facet of keeping his word. There's two major operations in what we're into. Abiding in him and keeping his word. Amen. Well, yesterday, in prayer, he kind of backed us up into that abiding room. And I want you to go to John 10 for a minute. So a lot of times it's easy to administrate your life around your calling, around the business affairs of your life. And you know, you've got your relationship with God. You're coming to church. You spend your time with him. But there's a time he wants to bring in deeper. And there's a time your heart will long for that. And you got to know how to go into where he is. You got to know how to enter into that place. And there's some things I can share with you that we've learned by the Holy Spirit that'll really help you. Look at John chapter 10, verse 9. Let's look at this. He says, I am the door. If by me any man entereth in, he shall be saved. So we have the salvation part down. Amen. But then he's going to talk about those that are saved. Notice else what he says. He says, then you shall go in and out and find pasture. So whatever this door is you're going in and out of. So it's obviously not going in and out of your salvation. He is the doorway to the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God, he says, the kingdom of God is what? Within you. The book of Revelation says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Whenever a priest or a king, and many times the prophets of the Old Testament, before they ever went to pray, they would go to the temple. Amen? And they would go into the temple. In fact, David said, I want to spend all the days of my life in the temple and to behold your beauty. He knew where God was. He knew where his meeting place was. Back then, the temple was a building made of stone. Now the temple of God is within us. God set that tabernacle. He didn't want to live alongside of us. He wants to live in us. And he wants us to come visit there just because it's in you. Doesn't mean you're visiting. Doesn't even you're making it through the door. You got to go in and out. You go in for fellowship. You go in to partake. You go in to abide. With the kingdom of God, because it's a spiritual kingdom, you got to learn how to move in the spirit. Amen? And to move in the spirit, you're not moving in the natural. In those days, you could just walk your blessed assurance right into the tabernacle. Now you're going to have to enter in by God's way, by spiritual means. You are a spiritual being. You got to get connected that part. You got to get a revelation. Before you're ever going to enter into the tabernacle of God inside, you got to know it's there. You got to get a revelation of his word, what's up inside of you. Because in whatever the word describes is where you're going. You can't go anywhere without his word taking you there. Everything about your life should be walking in the word. Entering into God is no different. Amen. Now notice what he says here about talking about the door going in and out. Notice this scripture here. It took me a long time to understand this scripture, verse 10. He said, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says, the Old Testament said, all his pastures, all my pastures are in the high places. The high places. In him we move, in him we live and move and have our being. In me, he said, there is peace. In the world there's tribulation, but in me there is peace. He said, abide in me. He said it like this, where I am, there shall you be also. He might be in there, but getting to him is a different story. Because sometimes you got to go through flesh. But more times than not, you're going to have to learn how to shift and move through jurisdictional authority. The spirits of principalities and the darkness of this earth, they govern the atmosphere of this earth. And you got to learn to move out of that jurisdiction into the jurisdiction of God. A lot of this, it's easy to do corporately when we get together, but when you're at home. Notice what it says, the thief cometh to kill, steal, and destroy. What's he killing? Now we know that he'll try to do that out here, but he's using this verse right there at the abiding gate or the door. He sits at the door. He'll sit at the door to try to steal your access, to kill your access, to destroy access. He don't want you up in there where God is. He'd rather keep you out to administrate all your priesthood and all your kingly authority outside that door. That's what he wants. He wants to keep you out. And he'll use a boatload of things against you to keep you out. If you can be distracted, you're going to be distracted. He'll put heaviness on you. You ever try to pray? I mean, you're alive and kicking. You've had your 3 cups of coffee or espresso. When coffee doesn't do it, you get the espresso machine out. You're ready to go, and you get up into that doorway, and all of a sudden, drowsy, weary. Oh, yeah, amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. You have to understand a lot of that is not natural. That drowsiness feeling you get, that heavy feeling you get, because you're not through the door yet. That distraction when you try to pray and you can't sit still for 5 minutes because your to-do list is raging through you. And you got to get up and do it now. Or for those of you, the inexperienced, which brings your cell phone into the prayer closet, it's going to ring. It's going to ring. There's going to be a text and somebody's going to need you right then and there. Don't bring your cell phone in the prayer closet. Because you're going to be like, oh, I'll bring my iPad so I can read the word. Yes, someone's going to email you and you cannot resist the text or the email coming down on the iPad. Those are just deterrents and distractions. The key is you got to get through. He says what? He goes in. You got to get in. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get in. Go to Matthew 6:6 real quick. Now I'm going to give you some tools that are going to help you of how to plow through that door. One of your greatest ways to plow through that door, I'm going to give you one of the cheapest ways to get through that door. Desire alone won't always get you through the door. You're going to have faith to get to that door. And it's going to have to be active faith, centered faith, focused faith. And if you learn how to do this, I'm going to teach you how to do this. I'll teach you how to open a spiritual portal within you. How to get into the kingdom of God within you. How to get there. What that feels like. What it's like when you get there. What it's like when you're not there. How do I know if I'm there? You don't have to ask that question. When you're there, you know it. When you're in Christ and you've shut the door. Matthew 6:6. Now, you notice Matthew 6:9 was the Lord's Prayer. We talked about this yesterday. Lord's Prayer is not just a recital prayer that you do. The Lord's Prayer were components of prayer. First component was worship. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Second component, kingdom transference. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are components of forgiveness in that prayer. All of these different components are aspects of your prayer life. But notice where he said to pray from. He says, but thou when you pray. Say when. Enter into thy closet. That word closet means inner sanctuary. Enter into the kingdom of God within, into the inner sanctuary. How do you know that it is? Because the next verse, and when you have shut the door, the Father that's in that secret place. Wherever you're going, that's where the Father is. Say, the Father dwells in me. Behold, tabernacle of God is what? With man. But you got to get through the door. That's why he said you've got to get far enough where you know the door is shut. What you're shutting out is the jurisdiction of this world system that's governing your thoughts, governing your emotions, governing your body, governing your mind, governing the atmosphere of your life. There is a way to break that governance. When you get through the door, there's a way to shut that door. When you get in the kingdom of God, your mind, will, emotions, even your body, everything will come under the subjection of Christ. Your whole being will come under subjection. You'll be clothed in subjection. You want to wrestle. You ever get into prayer and you're wrestling to get in there? You're not in yet. You hadn't shut the door. You got to keep going. A lot of times people give up and they're right there. Because once you get in there, there's life. There's joy. There's peace. There's glory. There's inheritance. There's love. There's strength. That's where kingdoms transfer. That's where you worship the Father in spirit. You got to be where I am. Even the Lord said that. Where I am, there you will be also. It was his last prayer in the upper room. Father, I pray they be with me where I am. They may behold your glory that I have with you. You got to be where he is. There's a time. You have the mentality that God comes to you. If you're going to know God, you got to know to go to him. Come boldly under the throne of grace. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the new and living way, consecrated by the veil of the flesh. Let us, what? Draw near. Come to the fountain, he says. Come to where I am. You got to move by the desire and direction of his word. You got to know his will. You got to know his word. And you got to know you're going to get there. And there are a few tools that will help you, praise the Lord. With that said, go to Philemon, or Phileo man. Glory to God. Philemon chapter 1. If you're not in chapter 1, you're in the wrong book. But at least he got a book, praise the Lord. It's one chapter. Verse 6, there's one powerful verse in there. It says, let the communication of your faith. How do you communicate? Let the communication of your faith. Well, how would you communicate with one another? You talk. So faith's going to talk. There's a time to rest in the Lord, but I find way too many people resting on the wrong side of the door. They get to the doorstep, they get stopped out, and they rest in the Lord. Said, I'm just resting in the Lord. What really has happened is the Spirit of heaviness has come over you, and you're resting in the heaviness because you didn't get to the door with a liberty, because when Jesus said, I come to you, have but life, and life more abundantly, but that life is in him. We got to go to the fountain, and we got to get through that door. We got to be skilled in getting into the inner sanctuary of God. We do that, a lot of your problems are going to disappear. Because when you get to where God is, you can easily surrender things. You can easily take off things. You can easily unload your burdens. So many of you are trying to unload burdens, but you haven't gotten where he is. He said, come to the throne of grace. You got to go to where the throne of grace is. You got to get to where he is. If you don't get there, so many things don't go well. Don't know how to unload. So we pastors don't even know a lot of this. I'll tell you, a lot of pastors are very burdened down because they don't know how to unload. When you don't know how to unload, you're going to wear your trials. You're going to wear your circumstances. And if you wear them like that woman, she's bent over like this. She walked around like this, and the Lord had to come straighten her up. Amen? The Lord's always going to straighten you up when you get in his presence. You're not going to live bent over in God's presence. Because God's light's going to straighten you up. You don't live bent over like this when you're in the presence of the Lord. You live like this when you're in the presence of the Lord. You look like this in the presence of the Lord. So verse 6, that the communication of your faith becomes effectual. Now he's going to tell you how to do this. By the acknowledging of every good thing, say every good thing, which is in you, in Christ. A person that is unworthy will verily make it or feels unworthy, carries a spirit of unworthiness, guilt, shame, or condemnation, will very rarely consistently fellowship with God. The unworthiness blocks them because they can't see anything good on the inside of them. He didn't say to look at you. He said to look at everything inside of you in Christ. You got to know what's in there. If you don't have a revelation of what's in there, when you try to go in there, there's no grid. There's no anchor. There's nothing leading there because you have no revelation of what's there. So you live your life out here. Are you inside or are you outside? Becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. There's a lot of stuff inside of you. I've taught 3 different series on this with about 15 teachings in each series. So find out what's up inside you. The Word of God's abiding inside of you. Your promises abide inside of you. Holy Ghost abides inside of you. Jesus abides in you. The Father abides in you. Kingdom of God abides in you. Tabernacle of God abides up in you. Gifts, callings, and administrations of God abide in you. Before God sends it through you, He puts it in you. When Peter was at Gate Beautiful, he said, silver and gold have I none but what I have. He already had that man's healing. He had it on him. He didn't say, I'm going to pray to the Father and bring it down. He already had it. Everyone say, I got it. You got to get in touch with that realm. Amen. Anna, would you stand up, please? If I'm acknowledging Anna, if I acknowledge her and tell her how much I love her and what a wonderful, lovely wife she's been for 17 years, I don't do it like this. Darling, you've been such a wonderful, loving wife for all these 17 years. I really appreciate all that you've done. And I just want you to know how much these 17 years have meant to me, standing by with me the whole time. Amen. Is that what you do? I gave the words. I gave the lip service. There's no different than that. Than going to God and say, Father, I love you. I love you. But in your mind, you're working out yesterday's details. You're figuring out how you're going to pay that electric bill or that rent that's due today. I love you, Father. You're already thinking about your schedule, but your mind, your acknowledgement, your focus is not where He is. Amen. You're going to have to retrain your focus. You have to acknowledge anything. It's going to require 2 things. It requires words and focus. Say words and focus. And you got to know where to focus. He said, where do you acknowledge? Isn't it the craziest thing? We acknowledge inside. I'll tell you, I'll be the truthful. When I first started, this is the most unusual thing in the world to start talking to someplace inside of me that I didn't even know. I mean, it was much easier for me to talk to God out here because I saw God out here. And the Lord said, that's fine that you see me out here, but I really need you to see me in here. I really need you to retrain your spiritual dimension, understand that I'm living and dwelling inside of you. Inside. Say inside. And you got to get a revelation of all the stuff that's going on the inside and learn to speak and acknowledge and focus. He gave me an assignment, and I'm going to show you how to get to that door in a minute. But the first assignment he gave me, he goes, what I want you to do is get in touch with what's going on inside of you. And he gave me a little, see, because I want you to practice an awareness, focusing. Now, how many of you pray in tongues here? Lift your hands. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something here in a minute. I'm going to ask you to pray in tongues. At the same time, I want you to think about J.J. Watt while you pray in tongues. J.J. swatting the ball down, making tackles, sacking the quarterback. But I want you to pray in tongues while you do that, okay? On the count of 3, ready? Don't think about anything else. 1, 2, 3, pray in tongues. Come on, everybody pray in tongues. Now think about, keep praying, but think about J.J. Watt swatting that ball down while you're praying in tongues. Jumping up, swatting. Think about it. Thinking about it. There he is. Sacks the quarterback. Makes a touchdown. Keep praying. Okay, thank you. What was the purpose of that? Your spirit does not need your mind to pray in tongues. Your mind is unfruitful. Your mind does not even need to be anywhere near your spirit. That is a gift God's given you to pray in tongues. It's the direct line of communication where the Holy Spirit prays the perfect will of God through you, but it doesn't require any of you. You can pray in tongues while you're feeling good, bad, or ugly. You can still pray in tongues. But you can sit there and pray in tongues for 10 hours and you might not make it to the presence of the Lord. But you are making intercession to deal with some things that are keeping you from the presence of the Lord. But this type of prayer is going to require your focus. You're not going to get to think about J.J. Watt when you're trying to get through an interior door of the kingdom of God. You're not going to be able to think about yesterday's cares, tomorrow's concerns, how to pay your rent. But this type of prayer, you got to enter in. You're not going to be able to have your mind somewhere else. You're not going to make it. No more than I can turn my back to Anna and talk to her with my back to her. You're going to have a focus and an awareness of where you're going and what you're doing. It's going to require all of you. And that's the more difficult part of it, because we haven't trained ourselves for focus. Because what happens when we start to pray, generally we're making our requests known to God, but you shouldn't even be making your requests until you get to where He is. You get into the presence of the Lord. The entire Old Testament taught you the pattern. Go into the temple. The temple's inside of you. Get in there, then do the things you need to do. Say the things you need to say. Your first objective is to enter in. Draw near. We've been granted access. Glory to God. But to get through that door, there are thieves. There are robbers. They come to steal, kill, and destroy that access because they know how great God can make you if you get in there on a consistent basis. They lose their control over you because the power of that room is way more powerful than any room they've got. And they know it, so they're going to try to steal the access to become effective in that access. Now, a lot of people you'll worship in, but you try to do that all your life. Just worship, worship, worship. What'll happen, sometimes that song won't work for you anymore. Anybody ever get a song and it just lifts you up in the heavens and you play it 150 times? And 150 times, it don't take you there anymore. I want another song. Give me another song, because you're going in by song. You know when you're in there because it feels right. I don't need to feel it when I know I'm in there. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to do more than feel it. I'm going to experience it. But I'm going to go in there by faith and I'm going to go in there by promise. So He gave me something to do. And one of the things He gave me to do was a little thing to do every day. He said, I want you to learn to acknowledge me in you. And I want you to acknowledge my Holy Spirit in you. What's the Bible say? He comes to live and abide in you forever. Is He with you or is He ain't with you? Is He or ain't He? He is with you. How come we don't always feel Him then? How come we don't feel Him when we're at that door trying to get through? Where is He? He's on the other side of that door welcoming you in. Sometimes you're going to have to get in touch with Him. And the way you do that is acknowledge every good thing in you. So when I acknowledge the Holy Spirit, He said, I want you to spend 5 minutes a day, five times a day. That's what He told me. He's probably going to tell you to spend 5 minutes a day, 20 times a day. But He told me 5 minutes, five times a day. He said, now I want you to take 5 minutes. I don't want you to take 30 minutes. I don't take an hour. Just take 5 minutes. I want you to practice focused awareness that my spirit is dwelling inside of you. Well, honey, you do that. Well, I don't know how you did it, but I put my fist right here. So I focused here because I wasn't accustomed to do that. As soon as I started doing that, everything about me wanted to be out here, not here. But what I did is I trained myself 5 minute sessions to acknowledge the Holy Spirit and keep talking to Him. The way you acknowledge is words and focus. Say words and focus. So I talk to Him with my focus towards Him. Not out here, here. And I do that for 5 minutes. Holy Spirit, I thank You. You've come to abide in me. You dwell in me. You're my comforter. Oh, You're my helper, Holy Spirit. You're my teacher and my guide. You've granted me revelation. You've granted me wisdom. You've granted me insight. You've granted me help. You've forgiven me of 1,000 things, 10,000 things. I thank You, Holy Spirit. You're my paraclete, one that stands by my side. I thank You for all the revelations You've given me. I thank You, You abide and dwell in me forever. You never leave me. You're my comforter. You help me when I'm in distress. Now, when I first started doing that, after about a minute, my mind would start wandering off. But as I kept doing little five-minute sessions, all of a sudden I started getting connected. And I started feeling his presence. And I started feeling him there. I'm like, wow, you're there. You are there. He wasn't the problem. I was the problem. I wasn't in touch with him. But through that focused awareness, he kept drawing me back. He said, listen, this is going to happen. You're going to be speaking. You're going to find yourself speaking. Your mind's going to start wondering. Draw it back. Retrain it. Say, retrain it. Retrain, retrain, retrain. And as I retrained the mind to focus, and I kept the awareness, and I kept speaking and speaking to him, what happened, those 5 minutes soon turned into 10 minutes. Because I retrained my focus, and I started moving into where he was. And when I did, his presence started taking over me. It was quite a joy. But all it was a training session to get me in tune with this doorway here. Now, the Lord told me, he said, listen, I started you there, but what I really want to do is take you to the Father. But the Father's in me, and you're going to have to come into where I am, and then I'm going to bring you where he is in the Father. I want to bring you to the Father's love. Amen? The reason why he's teaching this, because it's very easy to get distracted and to know all this stuff and not to do it. So he brings us back into focus. Amen? Because when you get yourself out of focus, if you ever start working out and you stop working out, it's very hard to start working out again. Have you ever noticed that? When you're working out and you're on it all the time, it's real easy. But when you stop, it's hard to get back. Anything you do, if you don't do it consistently, you'll lose a part of that. I mean, even not being here Sunday, I felt a little awkward, out of place. When I got in here Tuesday, just one day, I just felt like, wow. Because you got to stay in there. You got to stay in your groove. Amen? So when you start learning how to do this, he goes, now I want you to learn to enter into the doorway. And so I'd get the scriptures of entering the door, the ones I shared with you. Enter the doorway. Come to where I am. Come to the fountain. See me as a fountain. Now, I'm going to say something. He started asking me. He said, I want you to see the kingdom of God inside of you. Now, this was a difficult one for me to preach because a lot of people are trying to see. I mean, literally see. They thought that your spirits is going to open. There's going to be a throne with thunders and lightnings and angels and all that. And they said, I'm not seeing anything. They tried it. I'm looking. Because you're trying to look with these eyes. You need to see with eye of faith. Now, I'm going to describe to you the best I can what that's like. But more importantly, everything you do when you move into the kingdom, you got to move by the word of God, through the word of God, with the promises of God. Like this. When he says, our God is an exceeding great shield. Or he, like Anna said earlier, he's our high tower, our fortress. He's my tower. See, David saw himself not on the outside of the tower, but he was inside the tower. You're my fortress. He knew that God was a fortress. He knew, Abraham knew God was a shield around him. He knew there was a high tower around him. He that abideth permanently, abideth in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow. He knew he was under the shadow. Hide me in your pavilion. He always knew he was inside, not outside. You've got to know you're inside. Amen. Everything about the kingdom is inside. In me, there is peace. In me, you will move and live and have your being. So you got to get where he is. Where he is in there, but you got to shift that jurisdiction. You got to move out of where you are into where he is. You're going to do that by acknowledgement, focus, words. I'll tell people this. Don't stop talking. Don't stop talking until you get where he is. Then you can stop talking. You got to get where he is. But you got to keep talking, keep talking. Talk to the gate, talk to the gate. You've got to arm yourself with scripture. Arm yourself with an awareness. Now, I'm going to show you what that feels like. Because he said you got to see where you're going. You have to have a compass of where you're going. Do you have a compass? Or are you just going to some spiritual land that when you feel its presence, you know you're there? You should know where you're going, because if you get where you're going, you're going to feel his presence. You're going to get a lot more than that. The administration of the kingdom of God happens at the throne of grace. That's where you unload your burdens. That's where you receive from him. That's where you forgive. That's how you unload trespasses. That's where you get clothed in light, love, and liberty. That's where you receive kingdom transfer. Hallelujah. Now, how'd I get in there? Here's what awareness in the kingdom. Instead of seeing, like I want to see an angel, you need to get that out of your mind. I want you to see the fortress. It's an awareness that Scripture creates for you. It's an awareness that I'm in a strong tower. Now close your eyes. What does a strong tower look like to you when your eyes close? What is the eagle's wings, the shadow of the mother eagle stretching her wings over you? What's that feel like? What's that? You feel the awareness of that? Now I want you to enter into the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. I want you to just enter through that door. I want you to enter through the living pillar of glory. It stood at the tabernacle of glory. I want you to see that awareness. I want you to enter into that. Move towards it. Move through it. Now I want you to be aware that you're inside that tent, not outside. You're aware of the presence of God around you. You're aware that you're enclosed in a tent. You're aware that you're in a pavilion. You're aware that you're hiding in the secret place of the Most High God. You're aware that a strong tower is now all around you. A fortress is around you. A mighty and exceeding great shield is all around you. You're aware that angels now are encompassing around about you and your household, but you're enclosed in a tent of meeting. You see that awareness? Okay, open your eyes. Did you feel that awareness? That's how you move in the kingdom. By Scripture. The Scripture forges the awareness. You see what I mean? And then when the Scripture forges the awareness, then you move into that awareness. Don't stay outside the tent. Move inside. When you're praying, be aware that you're inside. Keep your focus there, because now you're in the indwelling place of Christ. Because the temple of God is what? With man. It's within. Kingdom of God is within. Now, if you train yourself, what will happen is your focus will go with you. The more focus you have, the more skilled you'll get. Amen? Because you can only move there. You can become aware of the throne of grace. You can be aware of the fountain of living waters. Then you can be aware of the Father that's in that room. You can be aware of His love that's in that room. You can be aware that you're dwelling in the bosom of the Father. You can be aware that you're there to worship Him. You can be aware that He's clothing you and covering you in the greatness of His love and the greatness of His glory and the greatness of His grace. You can be aware of the grace of God in there. You can be aware of dunamis power there. You can be aware of your calling and your gifts and the Word of God. You can be aware of the Constitution. You can be aware that it's all there. All this is inside. The reason I have it on the outside written, because I have something that it's my anchor. When I hold it like this, what I want to do when I get in that room to pray this, I get in that room. I don't pray this out here. I get in that room like that. Once I'm aware that I'm in the presence of the Father, I will acknowledge this constitution to Him. I will acknowledge His words to Him face to face. Amen. That's how to pray. You pray from position. Amen. Prayer is not all about how much you pray, it's where you're praying from. If you'll learn the awareness, if you'll learn the focus and the speak. Now, a lot of times when you're not used to this, that door looks like it's closed, like you're never going to go through because you haven't opened it yet. Now, that seemed pretty easy, but we're walking through an open door that we've spent a lot of time opening. Amen? Now, in the beginning, when you get to that door, okay, in the beginning, when you're getting through that door, it'll feel like it's a stone gate. With bars of iron, because you're not used to that. That wasn't your access point. A lot of times you'll go back to whatever access you got. But if you'll keep at it and keep at it, what'll happen is you'll open that door up. It'll open for you. And when it opens, then you've got what's called a pathway. And that pathway's been built by faith and the Word. And guess what? You don't have to spend near as much time anymore on it. You can go right through the door. Why? You've already opened the door. And it'll be a greater access point than what you had before. Amen? Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Now, I want to share something with you. One of the number one things, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. The major, major things will keep you from that doorway. Big one is distraction. Distraction can be beat by learning to focus. Like you're going to have to teach yourself focus. Some of you are focused. Most of us are not, especially on spiritual things. We're just not trained that way. You can train your focus, but you're going to have to retrain. If you don't, then you're going to live outside the gate most of the time. And you're going to miss a lot of your inheritance because it's on the other side of that gate. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Another one is unworthiness. Those thieves, those that come to steal, kill, atmospheric thieves, they coming to produce an atmosphere that's contrary to that gate. And they're going to remind you of everything you've done wrong. They're going to remind you of unworthiness. They're going to remind you what you did yesterday, last week, how you didn't handle this thing, how you didn't handle things. They're going to remind you everything, anything they can do to keep you from entering that door. And you got to know what your inherited rights are, no matter how you feel, because you're not walking in this place by feeling. You're walking into this place by faith. This place is the foundation of everything you're going to do. So if you don't get there, then what are you going to do? So you got to know how to get through these thieves, and they're going to remind you a lot of things. You got to know when they bring up certain things, they got to know. You got to know what God says about you. Amen. The first thing Ephesians says is you're accepted in the beloved. Say accepted. Ephesians 1 verse 6. Oh, look at verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. That means it's a jurisdiction. You're going to have to get there to get those blessings. They're in Christ. That is a heavenly place. Do you know you're carrying heaven around with you? You may not feel like it because it's in another jurisdiction, but it's still inside of you. That's hard to comprehend sometimes when you haven't heard anything like that. You don't get taught that all the time. Now notice what he says, verse 4. According as he, the Father, has chosen in him, the Son, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that what? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's the way the Father sees you when you're born again. He sees you holy and without blame. You got to know that when you're going through that door. Because you're not always going to feel holy. You're not always going to feel blameless. You're going to feel your stuff. You're going to feel... Those thieves are going to make sure you feel your stuff. They don't want you in there. You got to know. You go in there. No, I'm holding without blame before him in love. In verse 6, he goes, I am accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted. Because sometimes you think you got to do something and get right and all that. But he says, come to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Where are you receiving mercy from? At the throne of grace. The throne of grace ain't out here. The throne of grace is in there. So he's going to give you access with all your stuff. You might not have to bring some of your baggage through that door to unload at the throne of grace. You got to know you're going to do that. You got to go on through that door and say, I may have some baggage right now, but I'm holding without blame. I'm going to the throne of grace to release all this. But I'm going to get through that door. Say, I'm holy without blame before him in love. I'm accepted in the beloved. You got to know that. Glory to God. Jude says, now in him to keep you from falling. Listen to this one. That he may present you faultless. Say faultless. Before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy. He's presenting you faultless. That's hard to believe when you hadn't been faultless. How many of you been faultless in the last month? Ooh, look at those hands. How many of you have felt holy and without blame? You're not going to feel like that until you get there. All the feelings of holiness and without blame are in there. They're not outside the gate. So you got to not take account of what you're feeling. You got to know those atmospheric thieves are there to steal your access. I have a tape on this really good teaching. It's called Atmospheric Thieves. It's all over. I've posted it almost all those series so you wouldn't miss it. You got to know you're holy without blame. Say, I'm holy. Without blame. I like this. And go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1 verse 21. Now this stuff is practice. Oh, you got to come to church. I gave you some work to do. What must we do to work the works of God? He goes, believe. This is the work of God. There is work in the spirit. If you want to be successful, the kingdom of God. If you want to be victorious, you're going to have to put some work in. Amen. You'll find yourself in that room. You'll find more than you can never know. God, everything God has for you is in that room. Jesus is holding your inheritance. He ascended to the right hand of God and received your inheritance. He received your calling and the administration of your calling, and he delivers it to you in that room. That's where the Holy Spirit does his downloads too. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you, who were sometimes alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, verse 22, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Isn't that amazing? You gotta have those scriptures when you're not feeling it. Gotta know those scriptures when you're not feeling it. When you're trying to get through that gate and you're not feeling it, and you know that you're not holy and unblameable, you gotta know you are instead. You gotta have those scriptures going through that gate. I'm holy. I'm unblameable. Unreprovable. Accepted in the beloved. He's presenting me faultless. I'm coming through the door. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Gotta know that, or unworthiness is gonna stop you out. Shame, guilt, or condemnation is gonna stop you out. When it stops you out, you go about your day. But you don't know what he had for you in that room. You don't know the glory he had for you. You don't know what wisdom had built her house. And she spread her table. She had a lot of stuff there ready to give you. A lot about the kingdom of God is making it through that door. If you're going to be effective, you got to know how to get through that door over and over and over. Consistent access. Amen? Say consistent access. I'm going to leave you with imagery. This will be my last scripture. I want you to go to Exodus 33. I'm going to leave you with some imagery here. This is a powerful, powerful scripture of imagery. If you get this one locked down in your spirit, you'll get through there quickly. Exodus 33, verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle. He pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, called it the tabernacle of congregation, the tent of meeting. It came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out and unto the tabernacle. Notice that. Where'd they go? They went out. Say, went out. Unto, they went to the tabernacle. They went to where the tabernacle. Back then, God had to put it beside them. Now he put it inside you, but you're still going to where the tabernacle is. See, Moses had to go to where the tabernacle was. Where was the glory? Outside or inside? Where's the glory for you? Outside or inside? Why do you think the thieves stand there? Atmospheric thieves want to steal your glory. God has for you. In the Cana Pass, verse 8, when Moses went out of the tabernacle and all the people rose up, stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. He went in. They were watching him go in. Are you going to be the one watching go in? Or are you going to go in? Are you watching to go in? Or are you going in? Oh, watch him go in. You go in. No, you go in. Who took Moses' place? Joshua. Wonder why, how he got his place. Look at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, departed not. Look at that. What? Departed not! Some of that heaviness you feel in here, you think that that's your tired? You're not tired. Those are same thieves that try to block access. You got to overcome that. They will be there. You got to know how to get through that. You got to want it. You don't want it. They're going to take it from you. And they're going to see that you live your life outside that door. Who took Moses's? Who got Moses' anointing? Joshua. Where did he live? In the tabernacle. He was there. He departed not. Verse 9. Get this. He goes out. He knows where he's going. It came to pass Moses entered into the tabernacle, and the cloudy pillar descended. The one in Exodus 34, 5, the Lord stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. That was the door right there. The Lord came down as a cloudy pillar of glory and stood at the door, symbolizing, I am the doorway. Moses went in, and the Lord talked to him. I need to hear from the Lord. You're going to do better hearing from him inside than outside. Too many people are outside trying to hear a word from him. If you get in there, he'll talk to you and download stuff because that's his room. That's his place of fellowship. And the sooner that you know that, that we know that. Now, we know this. We've taught a lot into this. But we need reminders, and the Holy Ghost is reminding us. Amen. You take the two greatest things, abide in me and my words abide. You bring his words with you. Bring his word up in there. You're going to be a champion of faith. He's this living pillar of glory. I see him as the cloud of glory. And I see myself walking through that cloud into the tabernacle. That's how it is. And I don't see myself outside, even though I might feel like I'm inside. I immediately shift to an awareness that I'm inside a room filled with glory. And I anchor that awareness in, no, I'm inside. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I feel and sense, and there's times I don't feel nothing, but I lock into that awareness. I lock into that focus and I stay locked in. I said, I'm not outside, I'm inside. You're my strong tower. You're my high tower. You're my exceeding great impression. I stay in there. All of a sudden, it shifts. The jurisdiction shifts. How do you know? It shifts, baby. All that pressure, all that distraction, all that heaviness lifts. Now you're in the liberty and the presence of the living God. And the glory. Oh, I feel it now. I feel the glory. I feel the joy. I feel the peace. I feel the happiness. I feel the excitement. You can hang out in there a long time once you make that jurisdictional shift. You can hang out up in there because there's nothing pulling on you anymore. You made it through. Now God will start talking to you. Now you'll start true fellowship. That's where you worship. That's where kingdom transfer comes from. That's where you can truly forgive in his presence. That's where he'll start downloading the kingdom of God to you. That's where it all is. That's where you take a big drink from the living fountain of living water. Amen? Let's all stand up. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Let's give him glory!